Quat Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlick.
Amendment 3. What happens now after the election? I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. That's a topic we'll discuss with Brian Westbrook, Coalition Life Director. There is hope, but it's important to get involved. Brian, welcome.
Well, thank you, Judy. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Brian, now that the election's over and we're starting the new year 2025, where do we stand here now with Amendment 3 and some of the other things on the ballot that may not have made how we as Christians might have had them turn out?
If you look in the state of Missouri here, you look at a lot of the candidates that were elected. A lot of them were pro-life. Many statewide office holders are pro-life. So we're excited about many of those victories that happened. But of course, we're not really in the business of getting involved with a lot of politicians. But we were very concerned, of course, with Amendment 3, which passed. But for us, it failed, right? So Amendment 3 passed at 51.6% of the vote.
See, that's amazing that it was that close.
It was incredibly close. And so basically what happened is that the pro-life movement had an incredible, incredible ground game. The grassroots movement to defeat Amendment 3 in the state of Missouri was one of the best ground games I had ever seen across the board. The pro-life movement was more unified than ever before. So, I mean, huge, huge victories. The polling a couple of months prior to the vote was at 58% passage, and we were able to pull that back to 51.6. So that was a big, big victory for us just from a unification perspective and also a ground game perspective. Where we failed was in the fundraising. The opposition, those who wanted abortion in all 9 months of pregnancy and also sex change operations for children, they had raised roughly around $30 million, most of it from out of state. And the pro-life movement, much of this at the very last minute, raised just under $3 million to oppose the $30 million of the pro-abortion forces. And so they had already raised a substantial amount of money. They had already done a ton of digital marketing and advertising. And so kind of the last ditch effort at the very end there was not successful. And many of you know who do a post analysis of this have found that if we had another 2 to 4 weeks, we could have potentially beaten Amendment 3 just by the grassroots effort alone. Mm. So Amendment 3, and we talked about this on the program before, but Amendment 3 hopes to remove any and all protections for women who might go through an abortion. And it also removes all restrictions on gestational ages for children who would be aborted at any time. So all 9 months of pregnancy. And so what we're actually are finding is that in order for a constitutional amendment to actually go into effect, the statutes and regulations have to be challenged in the court. And so there's a lot of decisions happening with the judges. But so at the time of this discussion, we are seeing that in Jackson County, Planned Parenthood, ACLU, and others are actually suing this prosecuting attorney in Jackson County. And they're hoping to get the attorney general's office out of this. And so they're suing to remove any and all protections for women and basically remove any criminal prosecution of abortion providers in the state of Missouri. And so we're excited that the attorney general's office and many other office holders are actually pushing back on that. And so it's not the wide sweeping abortion in all 9 months of pregnancy as of yet, but it could be depending on how the judge rules on this.
Brian, what about the bubble zone and your Supreme Court case?
Yeah, it's very exciting. I never thought that we would get involved with the Supreme Court or filing any lawsuits of any kind, but we want to stand up for freedom of speech. And so there's a little town in Illinois called Carbondale, Illinois. It's the home of one of the universities there in Illinois. And they passed an ordinance that it basically restricts free speech in front of abortion facilities. They call it a bubble zone, and it basically creates a bubble around anyone who approaches that abortion facility, and we can't approach them among that bubble. And so we believe that that's a huge, huge violation of First Amendment free speech. And so we, along with our good friends at the Thomas More Society, filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Carbondale. And so that lawsuit now has moved forward through the appeals court and is actually sitting at the Supreme Court right now. And we're very, very excited to see, you know, what is the Supreme Court actually going to do with this court case, Coalition Life versus the city of Carbondale. And this actually challenges a previous precedent called Hill versus Colorado. That was a case decided in the year 2000. And the fact that we are challenging current precedent is going to get a lot of attention, of course. And Hill versus Colorado, it kind of what it was is it's this free speech zone in front of these abortion facilities. And in the Dobbs decision, the court called out Hill versus Colorado and said this is part of a, quote, abortion distortion with regard to our fundamental free speech, where some free speech that opposes abortion is all of a sudden pushed to the side and says, oh, well, we can't have that here in the United States. And so we're very excited to see what's going to happen, whether or not the Supreme Court will take our case, and hopefully they will. And then we'll see what happens if we can get Hill versus Colorado overturned. But the work on the ground, the sidewalk counseling still continues, even though it's restricted in some way.
Yeah, I thought it was always restricted like that, though.
Yeah, no, it should not be, right? It definitely
right,
should not be.
But it has been.
Yeah, there's always been this kind of dichotomy where there's a also there's discussion about the FACE Act, or Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. The Biden administration has used this federal law, this FACE Act, as they call it, to restrict pro-life speech. So we've seen now 34 convictions of pro-life people, of federal laws, criminal prosecutions. There's many of them are sitting in prison right now. And that means that, you know, grandma who goes out to say prayers or sing hymns in front of an abortion facility might actually end up in federal prison, because there actually are some of these grandmothers in federal prison right now. So that's a FACE Act that we want to push back against as well, but we also want to push back against these bubble zones as well. But going out to the sidewalks, if we don't do that, then they're going to keep pushing back further and further and further on so many of our other First Amendment free speeches. And again, eventually our religious freedoms, which they're pushing back on so much. So that's why we go out to the sidewalk, to help these women, give them hope, and also push back and make sure that we have our freedom of speech.
Well, and Amendment 3 does so much more than that too, Brian, doesn't it?
Yeah, Amendment 3 is a whole other story. Amendment 3 removes any and all restrictions on abortion in the state of Missouri, which right now is in the court systems. The courts are deciding whether or not they will remove all the restrictions. One of the cool things that the Missouri Attorney General is doing is that Amendment 3 actually mentions childbirth as being one of these fundamental rights. So it lists a bunch of different things.
That's good.
Right? So
that's good.
I mean, we were fighting against Amendment 3, it listed things like birth control, contraceptives, abortion, and then also a childbirth. And we believe, and the Attorney General believes, that that should be protected. You know, if you're going to create this fundamental right to reproductive freedom, that childbirth is also a fundamental right, isn't it?
Well, sure.
And so the Attorney General's office right now is fighting back and saying, look, Amendment 3 protects childbirth just as much as it does abortion and these other things. And so we are very excited that they're taking that position, and we'll see what the courts say of whether or not they will also protect childbirth just as much as they might protect abortion.
Well, and gender change things for minors is also tucked into that Amendment 3.
Yeah, absolutely. So sex change operations for minors was built into this. Again, we have to really see what the courts are going to say. That's everything we were talking about when they were trying to pass Amendment 3, is that we said it's not clear. We don't really know. It looks like in the language that this would apply to sex change operations for minors without parental consent, without parental knowledge. Yet we really don't know until the courts have some discussion about this. And this is going to be a long drawn out. This is not going to be something solved overnight. This is going to be something that's going to be drawn out for years to come.
So these are not things that will go into effect right away.
Yeah, right now, it's interesting enough that right now, you could, in fact, get an abortion in the state of Missouri right now. However, Planned Parenthood has decided that they're going to wait to remove any and all safety standards before they start doing abortions, which is very, very interesting, of course, that they say, well, you know, we don't want to comply with any of these safety standards. And so as a result, we're just going to keep pushing women over to Illinois and Kansas.
Wow, that's interesting. Brian Westbrook is my guest. Coalition Life. When we come back, we'll talk more. You'll learn more about what sanctuary cities for the unborn are all about. So, Brian, will you come back?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Please stay tuned.
This is Dr. T.D. Stubblefield with today's Meaningful Moment. After he placed the last of my bags in the trunk of the car, I gave the parking shuttle driver a tip. He took the cash and began walking toward his vehicle. His loud outburst of gratitude startled me. Surely he couldn't be that excited about a $2 tip. Exiting the parking lot, I realized what had happened. I did not give him the $2 I had planned, but had mistakenly given him the $20 bill I had set aside to pay the parking fee. He was overwhelmed with appreciation. Each day of our lives, we are blessed by the generosity of God, who is able to do above and beyond all we ask or think. So many times during my life, I have been surprised because God gave me so much more than I deserved or expected. I know you have experienced this too. Don't forget to say thank you.
Like this is Encounter. Thanks for sticking with us. Brian Westbrook is my guest, Coalition Life Director. Brian, what's about sanctuary cities for the unborn? What is that all about?
Yeah, thanks, Judy. And thank you to your listeners. And thanks for having us on to talk about these incredibly pro-life issues. Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn is an incredible, incredible opportunity. It's run by a good friend of mine, Mark Lee Dixon, who is going across the state of Missouri, and he's originally from Texas, but he is helping cities. There's 960 plus cities and municipalities in the state of Missouri.
That's a lot of cities.
But we're excited that a city can help their residents comply with federal law with regards to abortion. And so there's actually what's kind of an unknown law, because Roe versus Wade had always covered it up.
Yes.
But an unknown law called the Comstock Act. And what the Comstock Act is, in 1873, this is just post-Civil War, so a lot of evangelicals had been elected to office, and there was a huge groundswell of how could we limit rude and lewd materials, including pornography, to be transported through the mail. Well, they created what's called now the Comstock Act of 1873, and that included the transportation of abortion-causing drugs or the transportation of abortion-causing materials. And so because the federal government can regulate interstate commerce, the federal laws on the books were able to regulate that transportation of abortion-causing pills, abortion-causing medication, and abortion-causing materials. Now, this could also mean forceps, medical tables, paper towels, gloves, anything that might cause an abortion would be considered interstate commerce. And so what is happening is under Roe versus Wade, the Comstock Act became irrelevant because Roe versus Wade created this so-called fundamental right to an abortion. And now, after Roe versus Wade, there is no federal fundamental right to abortion. The court said, no, that doesn't exist. It was never in our Constitution. And we'll let each and every single state decide. And unfortunately, Missouri has decided that we would have a, quote, fundamental right to reproductive freedom, which includes abortion in that fundamental right. Well, here we are. There's federal law that prohibits the transportation of abortion-causing medication and abortion-causing materials.
Into any state.
In any state.
From state to state.
From state to state and through interstate commerce on our interstate highway systems.
Interesting.
And so what we can do is we can do what's called citizen enforced mechanisms, if you will. And so they did this in Texas prior to the Dobbs decision through the Heartbeat Act. And they what they did is they said that citizens can enforce the Heartbeat Act through civil lawsuits. Mm. And we would do through cities in these different municipalities allow citizens to bring a lawsuit if someone violates federal law. And so it in Amendment 3, and I know this gets a little complicated, but
Yeah, you might have to explain Heartbeat Act for those people who don't know what that is.
Yeah. So a Heartbeat Act in Texas meant that at that moment that a heartbeat could be detected on an ultrasound screen, that you could not do an abortion. And we know that if there's a heartbeat, by snuffing out that heartbeat, that is considered an abortion, right? That's killing a baby. And so in Texas, there is a citizen-enforced Heartbeat Act. So the government is not the one doing the enforcement. The citizens are the ones doing the enforcement through civil lawsuits. And so we're very excited that Rolla, Missouri is already talking about bringing this sanctuary cities for the unborn. And God willing, Rolla will be the first Missouri city to say that they're going to protect unborn children inside of their city limits. Now,
what does that mean, Brian?
Yeah, so it's actually, again, somewhat complicated. It's like, let's say I want to set up a knitting shop, right? And, you know, we've got the business open and everything else, but I couldn't get knitting needles or yarn delivered to my knitting shop.
Because of legislation.
So if you have lots of yarn and knitting needles already in the building, that's fine and you can continue to do that. But, you know, with regards to this specific piece of ordinance at the city level, we're going to let, and hopefully, God willing, the city council will let citizens enforce federal law. And so, in a sense, you know, Rolla has a Planned Parenthood there in their city limits. And so that, in a sense, you could also mail these drugs to many of these different cities around the state of Missouri. And if a city wants to stand up and say, no, we do not want these drugs mailed into our city, we do not want ad hoc abortion facilities to be set up in our city, then they can become a sanctuary city for the unborn. And so Coalition Life, our work, we're glad to be able to work with many of these individuals who are, you know, pushing this forward, including my good friend Mark Lee Dixon at Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn. And so it's a great concept, and it's a great way for us to do that city by city by city by city. And we also hope that in the state of Missouri, we could potentially do this through legislation in Jefferson City as well. So much that we can do because there's already laws on the books that, like, partial birth abortion is also illegal in federal law. And so if we can allow that enforcement at the local level, then we can save babies one city after the next, after the next.
960 cities later, we have right. Everything in Missouri is a sanctuary city.
Right. So 960 cities
later. That is a lot of cities. So in summary, what can people do to make this happen in their city?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they could contact us at Coalition Life or coalitionlife.com if they're interested in, you know, having their city be one of the sanctuary cities for the unborn. So we're excited to be able to work with many others who are doing this.
Does that take a lot of people to do and a lot of time?
You know, it's because it's so local. I mean, a lot of cities have like 500 people or 1,000 people in their city that in a sense it, you know, may take a few weeks or maybe even a month to get through kind of those legislative processes. But cities are different than state or federal laws. Sometimes we get really, really frustrated that we can't get anything done at the state or federal level.
Yeah.
But we can do things in our city, and we can make these adjustments to our ordinances so that we can protect babies in our cities.
You have a process at Coalition Life that people can say, hey, I want to start this, and you can send them something or train them in something like that.
Absolutely. We would actually work with Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn and be able to come around side you and help to get that passed in your city. So we're excited about that. We're excited about the work that we're doing through our pregnancy center as well.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Yeah, well, we're, of course, that's our kind of meat and potatoes. We're excited to talk a little bit of these, political things we're doing. But our meat and potatoes is, being out on the sidewalk, saving babies from abortion directly in front of these abortion facilities. And, of course, our amazing pregnancy center that we have. And we get to see babies born every single month that these babies are born and hold these little babies in our arms. So that's great work that we're doing. Our team is doing, that's our meat and potatoes. That's the work of Coalition Life, is our pregnancy center and also the work we do on the grounds through sidewalk counseling. So we encourage people to, look us up, volunteer, help us with our pregnancy center, help us with the work we do out in front of these abortion facilities. And if you happen to live in one of these 960 cities in Missouri or Illinois, or even beyond, because this can be done in any state because we're pointing towards federal law. And so we can do this, Sanctuary City for the Unborn, anywhere that you're listening. We should be able to do this and be able to protect children and protect mothers throughout the entire United States.
And that website?
So look us up at coalitionlife.com, and we'll connect you with just the right resources to be able to do this in your city and town.
Coalitionlife.com. So what do you tell people, Brian, when they say, oh, man, everything seems to be coming against life? Where does the hope come from? How do we find hope in this chaotic time?
Our hope comes in Jesus Christ. And we're so, so excited to be able to do this work every single day. Our hope comes in the clients who walk into our pregnancy center demanding an abortion. And they say, I heard that maybe you guys can talk to me about abortion. I said, yes, absolutely. We can talk to you about abortion for sure. And they come in demanding, where can they get this abortion? And we're really, really hopeful when we know that these women walk out that door saying, you know what? I walked in demanding an abortion, but now I'm choosing life. So those are the huge stories. The children that we have an opportunity to hold in our arms, that the picture of these babies that you might see on our website, coalitionlife.com, that's where our hope comes. And I think through the work of the Holy Spirit and through the work of our volunteers and our donors, that's where the hope is. And I think we can probably turn this around. Amendment 3, yeah, it was terrible, right? But we have so much opportunity ahead of us. The pro-life movement is more unified than they ever have before. And I'm excited to continue to do this work.
That is very exciting how the pro-life movement moved forward, because most of the contributions that came out of the $30 million were from out-of-state contributors.
Yeah, absolutely. So Amendment 3, there was $30 million raised by out-of-state, big billionaires,
entities, yeah.
Right? So these billionaires are flooding money into Missouri, but we had a huge, huge grassroots effort put together to educate the community about Amendment 3. And so that has not gone away. Those people are not just like sitting back on their hands. We're doing things to move the needle forward. And, the discussions that we are having right now have in my entire work of pro-life work I've been doing for the last, decade and a half, we've never had this much unification. And so I'm very, very excited to see people coming together who may disagree on little tiny things, but are 100% unified in protecting life here in the state of Missouri and throughout the entire Midwest.
And that includes all life of all ages.
Absolutely. All life of all ages, from womb to tomb. And we know that if we stand together, unified under the banner of Jesus Christ, we know that we can be victorious.
Coalition Life. Brian Westbrook has been our guest. Brian, again, the website. And in closing, what would you like to say just to encourage people and get them motivated to act.
Yeah, absolutely. Our website, again, is coalitionlife.com. And we are so, so excited to continue to work hand in hand and person to person with these women who are considering abortion. So my encouragement to those who are listening here, I'll end with a very brief story. So a friend of mine called me and said, Brian, I know you know how to talk to women who might be going through an abortion or might have had a positive pregnancy test. Tell me how I should talk to someone. And I went through the whole process of how she should talk. But basically, women who are considering an abortion just simply need someone to listen. And I think we, so much as Christians, we talk at people and we've got our talking points and all these things. And we're up on social media, you know, explaining and proving our points. And my encouragement for the listeners is to, in fact, listen to those women who are considering abortion. Give them that time. Give them that space. Allow them to pour their hearts out and just wrap your arms around them and tell them that you love them. And so that's what we do through the work at Coalition Life. And we encourage you as well to get involved, volunteer, be part of the movement. And if someone approaches you and says, I'm not sure, I just found out I was pregnant, love them, care for them, and then work with our group at Coalition Life. We'd be glad to help you.
Get involved. It's worth it. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Brian, thanks so much for being my guest today.
It's an honor. Thank you.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlick, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.